We all have a common mandate, and we've talked about this out of James 15, that we have been appointed for this to bear fruit. We all know that. The question is there are some of us who have a calling to bear fruit in different places? And it's actually a very natural question to ask in a disciple-making culture, the role or the setting of your calling. I was 13 years old when I experienced a calling to full-time ministry, to be a pastor. My youth pastor was driving me home on a Wednesday night after youth Bible study. We were driving down Knight Street, just about to get on the Knight Street Bridge. I know exactly where I was, and I remember what he had a really cool car, and I remember sitting in there, and he said, "Norm, have you ever thought about full-time ministry?" And it's like time stopped for a moment. It was the surreal experience where I had never even in my life considered it. You know, being 13 years old, that's not a long time. But I'd never considered it, but I absolutely knew at that moment that God called me into ministry. And I think, did he see something in me? Or did he say that to everybody? That was actually a really natural question that we were asking of young people. I mean, this is literally 50 years ago this year. But we would ask young people 50 years ago, "Hey, have you ever thought about ministry?" It was a very normal conversation. It was very normal for us to ask one another, our young people, "Hey, are you going to go to Bible school? Are you going to CBC?" For us, we had a Bible college in Edmonton in our denomination. Are you going up to Edmonton? Are you going to Bible school? And so it was a very normal question for us to ask. Are you considering full-time ministry? Most of you know Pastor Terry, who was here for, I think it was 18 years before I came. Pastor Terry and I were actually friends in high school. We were in the same graduating class in the same school in high school. And it was normal for us to think about, are you called to ministry? In fact, in our circle of friends, there were four of us that ended up in some kind of full-time career ministry. Again, it was just a normal way of thinking 50 years ago. And I know that some of you have shared stories about, you know, it was normal when you were growing up to be a part of a short-term missions team. Well, of course we would do that. That's what we do growing up, becoming young adults in the church. And that culture, unfortunately, has dissipated. Harv, board meetings, we're praying for you this weekend, Harv. I hope things went well. But he shared last week, you know, he's talking about CBC and the fact that how some parents are hesitant to recommend to their students to consider Columbia Bible College because, you know, you got to get on with your career. You got to get on with the important things, you know, find your career and your calling, as if a calling to ministry wasn't even an option. And so we've lost part of our culture of calling one another out into ministry. And so we want to remind ourselves that a disciple-making culture is a missionary culture. It's actually a missionary sending culture. We simply take this disciple identity that we've been nurturing in ourselves, the places that we live, learn, work, and play, we simply take that and then ask God, okay, is there another setting? That's all we're doing. We're taking our identity as missionaries and saying, is there another setting? Is there another place? We are all called to be missionaries. We just need to explore the place of that calling. And so I have, I would love to restore that missionary culture back into what we would consider normal as Mountain Park Church. We've been working hard at creating that disciple-making culture, but wouldn't it be great over the next few years that you can't go through our youth group without considering a call to some kind of full-time ministry? You can't grow up in the church without experiencing some kind of a short-term missions team. You can't grow up in a family without the family talking about, hey, do we want to go down to Casa de Luz, or is there another place that we can serve? And so it's a normal conversation in a disciple-making culture to have those conversations. where we would say to all of our students, hey, have you thought about Bible school? Have you thought about Columbia Bible College? Because that's what disciple-making people do. We challenge one another to the places that God would have called us. Now, I am not saying, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that everyone is called to some kind of career ministry. I am saying that every one of us is called to a disciple-making ministry in the places we live, learn, work, and play. We've been appointed for that, that's clear. But out of the pool of all the people who are called in that setting, God calls some to another setting. It's always been that way, and we want to restore that value into the life and the thinking of our church. And so this morning, I want to do two things with you. Number one is we want to just identify and pray for people in the church that have experienced that call. And so we're going to introduce them to you again, remind you of the missionaries that we're praying for. And then second, we want to talk about what does that call look like for us? Can we think about another setting? And Sam's going to come and speak to us a little bit about that in a few minutes. But let me start by reminding you of the missionaries that we're currently supporting in the church, starting with Peter and Kim. Let's get their picture up there. We know we can do it. Peter and Kim could tell us. So most of you, if you've been around for, they've been gone for now 2 years. They moved about 2 years ago up to Casagar to take care of Kim's parents. But they work for Power to Change, and Peter works in Eastern and Western Africa. He's currently in Tanzania right now. And so he left on Thursday or Friday again. So he's in Tanzania right now. He works with church planting using digging water wells combined with showing the Jesus film. Those two strategies together as part of a church planting project. And so he's been doing that for a number of years, and they've been part of our church family for many years. Kim works for Power to Change Digital Strategies, where she is training churches and leaders how to use the internet in a mentoring capacity. So they'll have people, you can imagine today, if people have spiritual questions, one of the places they're going to go is to Google. One of the sites they'll come to is the Power to Change. And so what they're doing is training churches to use the internet in how to evangelize and mentor and disciple people. So they've been doing this for a number of years, and again, part of our church family. Jariah is serving with the Paiwan tribe in Taiwan. She's with an organization called Galilee Foundation. She's working with tribal churches in rural Taiwan. Probably a lot of you don't know her. She's been gone for so long many people in the church won't even know her or recognize her, but she's from Abbotsford. This is home for her. Next year in September, so a year from now, a little over a year, she's returning home, preparing to retire. And then in 2025, she's planning on going back just for like 2 more months just to finally hand off her ministry. But Jariah, part of our home church. Our most recent missionary that we commissioned was Christy. Christy is with Wycliffe, working in Papua New Guinea. What is it? We're getting up to like 18 months, 16 months? It's over a year, some like 16 months. It was winter of 2022 when we commissioned her. And she's been there now for, call that 16 months, doing language surveys, language mapping, so that they can identify where are the highest needs for scripture translation, and then working with the translators. But what a heart for ministry. And again, most of you would know her and her family. We are her family and her church family. Wayne and Crystal McMaster also work with Wycliffe in Southeast Asia. They're actually not from our church, but they got connected with Mountain Park because the Wycliffe has a training school at Trinity Western Campus, and while they were doing training, they got connected with us, and we became partners. So Wayne is an area director, and so he oversees some of the Bible translation projects and some of the teams, And if you receive their newsletters, you'll know that they had a new daughter just born to them just a few months ago. So that's exciting. And then here in Abbotsford, we have two missionaries, and James and Michelle. I'm going to ask you both to come up right now, if you would. Come up at the same time, even though we'll do Michelle first. We'll put your screen up. Michelle, come on up. We'll do you first. I know there's different pictures, but we'll have James come up at the same time. And I've just asked them to tell us, just rather than me doing like a one-minute summary of what they're doing, they can tell us. So, Michelle, why don't you start? You're with Youth Unlimited, but there's more to it than that.
Yes, I'm with Youth Unlimited, and I'm with a program called Jester's Theater that runs out of Mission, but encompasses Mission, Abbotsford, Chilliwack, and Maple Ridge. We have kids coming from all those places. And we are gearing up right now for summer camps. We have lots going on. And then our fall program, I have to mention our fall program already, was registration was less than 20 hours. We are full. And there's a great need, and there's a lot of people that have connected with us out of the school district, actually. So we're doing an offshoot program right now as well, the RV program, which is in conjunction with My House. And so Jester's staff are meeting after schools in our RV. Mission District actually approached us and said, we need you. We don't have enough help. And we said, okay, great. Which middle school do you want us at? And they said, nope, two elementary schools. Because gang problem is becoming big. So that's an offshoot that we're doing right now. So we have theater programming. We're trying to funnel our RV kids into that. And so we're getting between 25 and 50 kids a day at the RV. So yeah, it's a bit about us.
So real quick, she sent a newsletter out, was it this week, saying that they're actually being displaced, so they need a new home for Jester's. Any update on that, or just pray for that, or?
Yeah, we have a few irons in the fire. We just did a tour visit on Friday of a facility that we may be able to move to, which is very exciting, good partnership, but our rent would increase $500 a month. And so we're really having to, you know, reach out and say, okay, Lord, like, you're bringing this to us. And I can't say yet because we haven't gone through formal stuff, but that's where we're at. So if you can just pray for that, that would be great.
Thanks, Michelle. Why don't you take a seat? James, my buddy's got a mask on. How you feeling?
I'm doing okay. Renita's homesick. I'm better than she is, but just a little, starting to feel a little bit, so. First of all, minor note, when Michelle says my house, she doesn't mean her house. She's referring to another Youth Unlimited program called the Mission Youth House, M-Y, my house. There you go. I have the incredible privilege of, working in local high school, and Abby Senior here, one of the local high schools, and so get to connect with kids there, support them in their, sometimes in their learning objectives and often in just the things that are going on in their lives. Gearing up for the summer, it's going to be lots of adventure stuff, days at the lake, opportunities for kids to do things that they otherwise would never do, to push themselves to experience and experience different things and to be challenged. I'll share one really quick story. One of the other things that we do year-round is dinner and Bible study at my house. And when I say my house, I mean like the house that I live in. About a month ago, I had one of my kids, as we were driving there, ask me the question, James, what's it like to be a Christian? That's an interesting question. And a good one to consider, and one actually that I think probably we should all probably wrestle with. Like, if somebody asked you that, what would you say? I thought about it for a minute, and I said, you know what? I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways or one of the biggest components of that is that no matter where I am, no matter what the circumstances in, like, you know, in the darkness when it's just me and my own thoughts, it's not just me and my own thoughts. It's also this still small voice that tells me that I'm loved. And the kid paused for a moment. They said, I'd really like to experience that, but I don't know if I can believe in God. I said, fair enough. So I invited them. I said, you know what? God loves proving himself to people. So I would encourage you, when you have a chance, you can just do it quietly to yourself. You can just say, hey, God, if you're real, prove yourself. And then watch and see how he shows up. And so we went through our dinner, we went through our Bible study time, and at the end of our time together, we invite the kids. We've taken them on a journey from asking them if we could pray for them to now inviting them to pray for the things that are on their hearts. And in front of the whole group, out loud, this youth says, hey, God, if you're real, prove yourself to me. We haven't seen anything move yet necessarily, but if I can invite the rest of you into that, praying along with me, because I'm praying with great anticipation that God will show up and knock this young person's socks off in such a way that they would have no choice but to fall into this thing that they so desperately want. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much, James. That's awesome. So Ron's going to come up and lead us in prayer. Kathy, are you coming up as well? Just to read scripture and pray for all of these, our missionaries, and then we're going to move, we'll change our theme slightly.
Okay, I'm reading today from 1 John 4, verse 7 to 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And I think that's what these missionaries are doing, is showing God's love to the people that they meet.
Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we're submitting to you because we believe in your love. So even as we meet our neighbors and as we meet our friends, and even thinking about the missionaries, the everyday part of their lives is they know that you love them, that your grace is enough, that your grace is there every day. So I lift up Peter Catalis as he's in Tanzania today, that you'd be with him, that you would keep him healthy and strong, that through the Jesus videos that they show and through the relationships that they have, that he'd be able to encourage them, not only in the villages, but also the leadership, that they could continue sharing the eternal hope that they have. Thank you for Kim, too, as she supports the mentoring program and works with people all around the world. And as she's always looking for people to be mentors, that you would use the internet for your glory, that people would be touched by your spirit to become mentors and to work in that way as a ministry themselves. Thank you for Jariah. Thank you for the times that we had with her here in church, and even the time we went on a missions trip with her to Casa de Luz. And thank you for her heart to serve you, that she loves families, that she loves kids. And so use her in a big way, Lord, that you would also prepare other leaders to take her place when she retires shortly. And then she can be back home with her grandkids, which she looks forward to so much. Thanks for Christy, and as she serves in Papua New Guinea, give her strength, Lord, as she does hiking way in the back countries and as she makes friendships, new friendships there, even as she has a home there now. She bought a house, and we pray that she could even use that for your glory, that she could invite people to spend time with her, and that you would not only grow her faith, but that her faith would be evident to those around. I thank you for Wayne and Crystal McMaster, as we got to know them a few years ago. And I just impressed that the vibrancy of his faith, just knowing that he is to go into all the world. And when you ask him about that, he just says, well, that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? So bless him, Lord, as he's the chaplain also in the U.S. and as he works with the team that he directs there in Southern Asia. I pray that you'd bless their plans even as they plan on coming to North America this summer, as he's doing some chaplain work there on the way, and that even as they travel with four kids, that you would help them to have a refreshing time, that they could press reset, and that they would know that you are with them in all that they do, especially because Leah isn't with them. We pray for her, and we ask that they can make a good connection with her this summer. Thank you for those that are involved in our local youth programs, for James and Renita. It's just so neat seeing him walking around Mill Lake sometimes with a couple kids in tow, just talking and being there for them. Thank you for this young man that asked you to show up. I pray that you would, in all your wisdom and love, that you would show up for him in such a meaningful way that it would just make all the difference. We're grateful for Michelle, and we just love her spirit too, as she loves on the kids that she works with, as she works together with them, but also listens to them. And I pray that you would help them find a new facility that would even be better than the other one, just because you want to and you want to bless them. So thank you for these missionaries. We're grateful for them. And we also pray that you would plant seeds in our own lives as we share with our neighbors, that we could live the faith because of your grace. Amen.
Thank you so much. We want to shift our attention now to ministries where you could be involved. And so we have some things going on that our church is a part of, and I'm going to ask Don to come up first and talk a little bit about 5 and 2 ministries. And again, everything we're talking about now are ways that we can actually step into the story.
So most of you likely know about the 5 and 2 ministry because it's a street ministry where they deal with young people with drug issues and needle exchanges, and they also provide meals on a regular basis for anyone who comes off the street. And we've been involved with 5 and 2 for approximately 8 years. Started out very small, and we did every fifth Wednesday for a few years in terms of serving, and then A few years ago, we got into serving monthly. So we have 3 groups of people involved that we rotate, each group taking a month every third month. And so the main leaders you'll find is Ina and I, Lynn and Mark, and Carolyn, that organize the groups and all the feeding that has to take place. And so it's not onerous. There's just lots of little cooking things to do and getting things ready for the evening where you go and serve, and then going right downtown and serving on the street and getting to see the people who come there who are poor, who are transient, who are mentally challenged. There's quite a variety of people who come there. And so there is room. There's room to do lots more. I was just talking to the leaders last Wednesday night, and there's at least 6 feedings a month that are not filled right now. They would love to have some other group do the every fifth Wednesday, for instance. But we would need quite a few more people to be able to do the filled group. Right now, Lynn's group is a little short. They could really use some help if you want to step up and just offer yourself to help in any way. Contact Lynn or any of the ones of the rest of us that are on the list. We'd be more than happy to talk to you. It's a good thing to challenge yourself and just to go there. It's not easy on the street, talking to people on the street, but you don't go alone. You go with your friends from here and the Lord himself.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate that. Michelle, I'm going to ask you to come up again. Michelle is The missionary of all trades, let's put it that way. She's involved with Starfish Backpack Programs, coordinates that on behalf of our church, and I know there's other people involved, but tell us what it is for those who don't know.
Starfish was, I can't even remember how many years ago it was started, but it is a backpack, food backpack program. Food is gotten every week and put into bags and backpacks and whatnot. Our church is part of distributing to multiple schools in the area. And it's to feed kids over the weekends. There's lots of kids in schools that they'll be sent with maybe a little bit during the week because there's, parents don't want to send their kids to school without anything, but they sacrifice the weekends. Kids will come up on Mondays and be so hungry. So right now, in the city of Abbotsford, there is 654 bags or backpacks delivered every week. And the wait list is growing. So currently, Starfish or Community Services Archway is looking for more people, of course, to not only assist but also to help support because they have so many kids in the wings. I didn't send a picture. I didn't know that there would be one available, but it broke my heart last month when I was delivering to one of our schools, Margaret Stenerson, and they were actually having a food drive for the kids there. So that speaks to what's going on there. And so that was really heartbreaking to see that. There will be opportunities this summer to get involved a couple of times. Archway is opening up a couple of dates where they're going to connect with kids in the city and supply some food. I don't have those dates yet, but I will certainly put them forth. So, yeah.
And so, thanks, Michelle. So the food generally is donated by grocery stores. We have people that pick them up, and then you have to sort them into bags, and then theoretically put them in backpacks, but they're usually just grocery bags and delivered to the schools. And so I'd love for you to be able to be a part of that. It's a great ministry. Sam works for Multiply. Come on up, Sam. I got to know Sam a little bit. We had a coffee together a number of months ago, and we have some common friends, and just appreciated his heart for ministry. He's been involved with Multiply for a number of years, and if you read his bio on the website, it was a short-term missions trip that was really impactful for him as well. So really the perfect person to come and speak to us this morning. So Sam, welcome.
Thanks, Pastor Norm and Glenna, for the invitation. Yeah, it's true. The poster family on that last video, Dan and Carly Penner, are from just up the street and attend church, South Abbotsford Church, which I bring greetings this morning from to you as well. And their family has been transformed through being connected with Casa de Luz, as many of you can attest. Maybe you know them. As this is just so fun to be here. Like, thank you so much. My wife Heidi is at South Abbotsford today. My daughter is at Central Heights. My son is on his way for a two-week road trip. He's 19 and he's coming of age. Today he left to visit Grandma and Grandpa in Winnipeg and then Grandma and Grandpa in Niagara Falls. And his mom is like, oh God, be with him. So I'm solo here today, but it really is a privilege to be here. And as I'm going to stay on script, but as I was listening to you, and I just love this missionary culture thought, because, the word missionary really isn't in the Bible, so to speak, but you just see in the Bible that people are either missionaries, ambassadors of Jesus, incarnating Jesus, or they're mission fields, one or the other. They're either going and sharing or they're receiving something. And so you're one of the two today, whether you know it or like it or not. But I thought of Acts 13 too, with this mission culture thought, where while they were fasting and praying, it says, they set apart Paul and Barnabas. They set them apart. You want to be a sending culture? That's very biblical. It happened right at the beginning. And this missionary duo, Paul, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, didn't just go solo, rogue, on their own one day. A community that does what you're doing. Every Sunday, every time you meet with your life group, you worship, you fast, you pray, you do these things, and it's in our DNA as believers, as followers of Jesus, that we set one another apart for assignments longer and shorter. That's all they are. And relocation of your family is a good way of thinking of this kind of nudge that the Holy Spirit sometimes gives us that you don't feel ready for, and you're just like, I just think I'm not settled. I think there's something else, and it's God drawing you. Like he drew the fathers of Moses and Abraham, or Abraham and his family, to leave and to go into a land I'm going to show you. So my, I just love that. And I encourage you that while you fast and pray, you are going to lay hands on each other and you're going to set each other apart for all kinds of assignments. I really believe that. Just listening to you reflect through Pentecost, now the filling of the Holy Spirit in this month on your lives, it's going to happen. It has to happen because that's who we are. And how do I know this? Because little tiny emerging churches in Thailand or Mongolia or pick a country in Africa that Multiply works. And as they become mature in the faith, they don't just have hearts for their neighborhoods. They're like, hey, we serve a God of the nations. When can we go? When can we cross in the air with other missionaries from somewhere else and reach a neighboring country or another country? So we just see it. I have the privilege of serving with your mission agency, yours being the Mennonite Brethren mission agency called Multiply, in British Columbia with my colleague Greg as regional mobilizers, kind of a big mouthful. What do? We build partnerships. We coach churches in local and global partnerships. In global mission, we initiate pathways for individuals and churches to get engaged in mission. And it's kind of like a little recruitment team that we have too. We're always looking. I'm a gold miner for the next ones. I have been serving with Multiply for a little while. I got married in 1998 and moved out here to start a little discipleship training program because my life had been transformed in college through multiple summer mission trips. And I just had such a love for the nations that I'm like, hey, we need... The guy who was leading this little movement at the time, his name was Randy Friesen. He happened to be our general director for many years. Hey, Randy, we need a longer short-term mission program than we've ever had. The late 90s was YWAM heyday, and YWAM is great. But I was like, we need our own. And so my wife and I moved out here to help some friends launch a 10-month discipleship training program called TREK, which still exists to this day. It's trained hundreds over the years. COVID practically killed it. Our apathetic, mediocre Christianity is practically rendering it void of young people, much like CBC, Columbia Bible College, and other things. But I've got faith that as we pray for the next generation of leaders, they're included in this call to be set apart. And they just maybe don't know it. So we got to put a big call in front of them. My little personal calling is basically to mobilize the whole church to reach the whole world. That's it. So I don't know if you think you're too young. Here's what I mean by that. Here's how I'm defining it a little differently even for you. You might not think you have the gifting to be a cross-cultural global worker. We don't actually use the term missionary much. We just say global worker. Go serve. But we're looking for different kinds of skill sets than ever before because our strategy has been shifting in the last few years. We support national workers to come along. Casa de Luz doesn't exist in a vacuum. It was local churches and pastors that invited this ministry and mission to be in the area. And they're all over the world. We've got invitations from national workers for different kinds of skills to teach administration and business, to help teach different skill sets, to help with agriculture and different things. Some of these are shorter and longer term assignments that you might think, oh, I don't know Greek and Hebrew. Don't worry about it. I don't have a seminary degree. You might be actually right now the most qualified than anyone in this congregation to serve in a global context because we want to come in humility. We're not bringing the gospel only. We're serving national workers who love their countries. And we're seeing movements all over the world. In Brazil, I could tell you there's a movement of disciple multiplication right now that is unprecedented in our partner conference, the Brazil Mennonite Brethren Conference. It's pretty exciting. It's impacting business leaders, educators, and all sectors of society, young and old. I mean, we have this little program called Trek with Multiply up here in Canada. They have about 10 short-term mission programs, and they're all strategically geared to a demographic and a vocational kind of equipping strategy. It's phenomenal, and they're all packed in Brazil. In Myanmar, right now, a war-torn country in Burma, we don't have expat workers at the moment. They're right across the line in Thailand because of civil war. It's so dangerous. But there are local farmers who are pastoring households and multiplying churches right now as we speak. And they fill my Signal account with baptism photos like almost every week. They're doing just fine, living this missionary call. And it's pretty exciting. Last week, four women, they've been there 6 years. This is the first four women that gave their lives to Christ in a very, very challenging state in India. Like it's relative in terms of how closed some states are. Central Asia, this week in our little Multiply memo, we heard of a pastor named Tim with the descent from Central Asia who was asking and repenting for forgiveness for how German pastors have been treating foreigners in their country. He's German. And he was asking them to pray for the time when the Central Asian church will help evangelize unreached Germans. He believes a time is coming for that. The migrant diaspora in Europe, we really believe, are going to lead revivals. And they're going to transform the nation. But it's going to look very different. It's going to look very different, and it's exciting. Thailand, Chirlum sends a note this week. Pastor Chirlum with his team in Lang Pong, they baptized 10 new believers last weekend. In Uganda, I'll end with this one. Robert, Pastor Robert, is the pastor of a local church, has planted many other house fellowships. He runs a children's home that operates a school, and then they realized the moms couldn't feed their kids, so he started a microloan program and has a whole bunch of little social enterprises going on where moms are starting They're printing businesses, sewing clubs, and a whole bunch of other small farming things that are just percolating. And we have missionaries on the ground with Robert teaching business skills right now and helping them. It's pretty cool. Do you want to be involved in this story? Isn't it kind of, I just whet your appetites with a few things that are going on around the world. You can be a part of it. But here's the challenge that is challenging for every church that wants to send somebody globally or even organizations. I say this and then you're going to feel like what are you saying? You're disempowering us. But we're a bunch of spectators here in Canada often at church. And I think that's kind of what Pastor Norm and you have been trying to equip yourselves out of, just coming and watching. Rather than becoming a disciple and a disciple maker. And what tends to be the challenge is when we go somewhere, we export mediocrity and we export apathy. And we just think somehow on a plane, a switch is going to get turned on and now I'm going to be missional. And it doesn't really work that way. And you know what? In places where Christianity is quite simple and uncomplicated, they can sniff us out from 100 miles away and go, like, can't wait for you to leave, kind of, because we want to get on with the task. You think you know it all, but why aren't you planting more churches in Canada? Why are things not exploding in Canada? And it has to do with a lot of complicated things. But here's why I'm kind of jealous to get you all involved in the global church, because we have so much to learn. We have so much to learn. And don't be fooled by my little comment about or distracted by exporting mediocrity. Even if you don't think you're the most passionate, if you come as a humble servant and a learner, We have invitations from national workers in all the countries I just listed and a few others to come and be in relationship and come and learn about what God's doing in their countries. So take a trip. Go to, be, as you've learned to be a servant and a learner and a lover of people here, just go and do it for a summer with Casa de Luz. It'll be phenomenal. But don't think that you're just going to give. You are going to receive so much more, and it's a beautiful thing. Support. Yeah, national workers is what we're all about. The TREK program. Pastor Norm said, don't leave without inviting us into some practical things. Right now, we're going to run it out of Winnipeg this fall. There's still space on there for some young families or young adults that want to serve for 10 months long. We've crafted it, or if you're just graduating high school this past year, it's ready for you. It's going to be pretty cool, actually. You're going to be spending 3 months in Canada working with First Nations in different church planting opportunities. The whole program is training. It's not like you get some equipping and now you're on assignment. You're learning as you go. And then it'll be 3 months on a team in a country like Brazil, where you're going to catch some fire, or a location in Africa, maybe with Pastor Robert in Uganda. If you're feeling a nudge today as a family and you're like, this is really interesting, I wonder. We've got a program designed just for you. It's called Focus Internship. It is for families, couples, and singles in discernment. And what does that look like? Well, you would serve for a time for about 2 months in Winnipeg area. You'd be integrated into parts of our long-term mission training, and then you would be... The program runs from September into May, and the idea is that you would come away with a discernment of whether you want to be a cross-cultural worker or not. Maybe it's an upgrade. Maybe you've done some shorter things in the past, and you're thinking a longer assignment would be really good for us and stretching. It'll be the hardest thing you may ever have done in your life, but we just saw 6 families and a few single people go through it last year, and it was really good. You know, we're retiring more global workers than we have signing up. Just as a Mennonite brethren family, it's in every denomination is challenged with that right now. We're aging out. For example, in Mongolia right now, Rob and Marlene Berg are praying for the next ones to come in and take over some decades of church planting work in Mongolia. If you would love to learn another language, if you've got some agricultural skill and a heart to serve a really needy country that's really close to a broken country called Russia, maybe the next 10 years of your life, the best 10 years of your life, you could dedicate to a place like Mongolia. Yeah, I could say more about that, but I won't. For your church, we long for a church-to-church partnership with an emerging church somewhere where it would be mutual. We've got little workshops on that. We've got vision trips we could do. We could do a leadership team consultation somewhere with you. If you were thinking just rather than just a ministry, maybe you would want to take on, like meet a church in Brazil or in another part of the world and go deep for the next decade in learning mutual partnership. Koinonia is a great word of fellowship, and it's the central word in all of our training when we think cross-cultural bridges. You could, if you just want to give, go on our website today, and there's a gift guide, and you could participate by buying a pig for $100 for a farmer somewhere, or a set of books for some children in a country. It's really itemized and specific, and maybe that's just how you want to get involved as you go home today. I want to end with I've got a slide up here, but when I was thinking of your culture, I wanted to add this short little exhortation that isn't just specific to global mission, but also kind of addresses this term calling, because some of you might be waiting for this lightning bolt to just go, pew, you know, now I'm ready, or now I heard. And I'm indebted to Andy Crouch, who writes a great article on our three callings. He says you don't have one, but we have three. And that's not making it more complicated, as I'm going to explain it right now. Your first calling and my first calling is shared with, what's up? Someone in the back's putting up there. Oh, they're just going, yay, thumbs up. Got it. Is this to be a bearer of the image of God? And you share that with every human being on the planet. That means when you go to Starbucks today and you meet people from with Sikh background or Hindu background or a Muslim family or an African family, doesn't look like you, they were created by the same creator and they have the same mandate and the same calling, which is what kind of all vocational work fits under. It's why we can partner with Buddhists on the street or with or Muslims to fill backpacks or clean graffiti up or do that kind of thing. Because innate in all of us is this desire to worship our Creator and steward what He's given us, our planet, among other things. So your work matters. Why you build, what you build, and how you build really matters because of this first calling that we share with every human being. And when you land in another country, you can rest assured there's this longing to know who created us, longing to know why we were created and for what purpose. And you just need to tap into that. You know, the Bible says, and when the Son of Man is lifted up, I'm going to draw all people to myself. He's drawing people, and you get to join them. Then you become a follower, and you get another calling that you share with every single person in the global family of God. Doesn't matter what language their Bible is in, doesn't matter what their family of origin is, but that is, we become image restorers. What does that mean? I think it means we don't just till the earth and keep the earth as an image bearer, but we actively seek out places where the image is lost and destroyed and broken. And we go and we place ourselves in particular risk. That's a take up your cross. That's a dying thought. Lay down your life on behalf of the victims of prejudice, idolatry, and all the exploitation that goes on in this world. So we become, as followers of Jesus, and you are, and I am, an image restorer. Just sit on that over lunch for a while. You don't have to wait for a lightning bolt. You and I share these two things. We're image bearers and we're image restorers. Know that. And if you're a not yet follower of Jesus, join us. Give your life to Him and become an image restorer. It's phenomenal. We are the first to stand up to bring our talents, our agency, our experience, our money, our availability to restore the image of God wherever it's broken. If you're doing one or both of these, the third one's just going to fall right into place. And it's not this, oh, kind of a God having a carrot in front of your nose and then always ripping it away. And you're never quite clear on what you are to do. God loves you so much and me so much, He makes it really clear. And I think our third calling is this, to make the most of today while it is today. Hey? Amen. So that means we live in a certain place today. You work in a certain place today. Some of us have summer breaks if we're teachers today. And we bring our resources, our memory, our energy, our age, our attention, our degrees, our titles, our positions into today. But here's the weird thing. It's contingent on things that are outside of our control, our today. Right? It's dependent on things like economics and a pandemic or maybe our age and our health or a whole bunch of other things I won't list that we can't control. Like a war in the Ukraine, for example. There are Mennonite brethren, pastors that have been wrestling for over a year now with what to do with those callings. They haven't said it this way, but you know, how do we bear the image and restore the image in this broken place? And so some of them have asked for finances for bulletproof armor. And for the last, they're like, they call themselves chaplains, literally. And I've got single chat groups where we are praying. We haven't lost one yet. And they go to the front lines with helmets, bulletproof vests, and yes, they help with evacuations, but they also are ministers of the gospel to any soldiers. And in humility, whether they find a Russian soldier or Ukrainian soldier, wounded, alive, for them, against them, they share the good news of Jesus and the hope of the gospel. And that peace is a person. The Prince of Peace is a person. His name is Jesus, and you can know him. And they're risking their lives. That's making today, well, it is today, a very challenging today. It's just making the most of their life. It's stewarding well the moment that they're in, and that's our challenge. Even here in Abbotsford, while today feels very comfortable, and we've all got food in the oven or on the soup in the fridge for when we go home, how can we steward today while it is called today? And even if we don't have the same abilities we had a few years ago, or we are challenged with all kinds of things outside our control, can I encourage you to be living into your callings? And I know will impact the globe. Skip the last slide, and I want to end with this quote. I love this quote. Well, yeah, this slide's great. This is Andy Crouch summing up his three callings. I'm interested in the expressive individual that I call me. That's who he's most interested in, you and I are often most interested in. But Scripture turns out to be not interested in me hardly at all. Isn't that annoying? Just sit on that for a moment. It is somewhat more interested in me as a member of a community connected to one of the nations of the earth. Sure, Scripture talks about that. But really what Scripture is interested in is God and God's mission in the world and God's commissioning of a people and God's gracious invitation to me to stop being so interested in me and start being absolutely fascinated by his mission. Amen. It's not a Bible verse, but I think it's true what Andy is saying here. We would love to be the bridge. We would love to help you be more engaged in the global mission. You know, our local is just someone else's global, and their global is local. Our global is their local to them. But let's not be so comfortable that we don't see the nations. And I join your mission team, your pastoral staff, in longing for the day for some of you to put up your hands and go, yeah, here I am. Send me, Lord. Nick, you ready? I want to pray. And then we're going to sing a song. Is that okay? So, Lord, thank you for every place in this world where you are simply and uncomplicated, in uncomplicated ways, multiplying disciples who share your good news, lay down their lives, take up their cross, and share what they have with people who have less than they do, the good news of Jesus in holistic ways. Lord, we need that here, and we want that, and we long for that, but we also want to participate in that. And so show Mountain Park how they can be more involved in this missionary culture dynamic in the world, and not just Mountain Park, but individual families and individuals here, moms and dads, children, brothers, sisters, grandpas, grandmas. What have you been saying to us by your Holy Spirit? We just take a moment to tune into that, because that's all that really matters. And give us the courage to say yes. Amen.